Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey everyone, it is the Machin Page App Podcast. We are back for another week, still here.
Just about.
Physically, emotionally, and all of those things. Psychologically. Chris, we've had some interactions this week, and I have watched like almost like a time lapse, but with loads of missing shots, the crumbling of a once great man.
Mate, I'm dying. I'm at my wit's end at the moment. I really am. Like, I can't remember what I said to you this morning on the phone. But the kids started just crying for no reason and like arguing over a cushion. There's two cushions. In fact, there's four cushions in our living room, which is four too many, if you ask me. As anybody who watches Series 1 will know, I'm not a particularly a strong advocate of the cushion.
Soft furnishings in general.
It's just stupid. Like apart from the fact that, you know, the coupling gang and all that, right? We spend thousands on soft sofas and we put on Matalan cushions for a tenner. Like, it's just stupid. They're not more comfortable than the things that you've spread the cost of over 3 years from Bright House or DFS or whatever it is. Like, you know what I mean? It just doesn't... So, no, I'm not into them. And then they're identical apart from one's got penguins on. And one's got like a bunny rabbit, and there's another one. I don't know what's on the other one. They've been in my living room for 2 years. I have no idea what's on them, apart from the fact that this morning they were arguing over a bunny one and a penguin one. That's the only reason. And hopefully by tomorrow I'll have forgotten what's on those cushions because they're irrelevant to me and my life. It will go in there and it will go out, and then I'll relearn that information the next time they argue about identical cushions in the living room. And I just wanted to go out, hang up on the phone and just fucking top myself because it was just too much, and it's just steadily gone like that all week.
What's one of those things is that... You're doing the thing, it becomes a subconscious thing because we all have the way that we discipline our kids, and we all then have the way we discipline our kids in front of other people. And I'm not like saying there's not a huge difference. It's not like a knock shite out of me kids when people aren't watching or whatever. I don't, but I know there are probably people who do, but it's there's a voice we all have, and it's how we talk to our kids when really what we're doing is we're not telling them off, we're pleading with them to just be good. And it's like, please, come on. And you've got that real undertone of fury to your voice, but what you're doing is it's an octave higher than you would normally talk, but it's got a real rumbling of rage, and it's like that. Please, come on, can you just go and play nicely together? If that was two grown-ups, you'd be like, fucking shut up, you gobshite, fucking, I'll have your pillows, eat your pillows, you pricks.
The rumbling is the thunder before the lightning, because if they don't respond well to that, Paul, it's absolutely coming. It's coming big time. I'm sending you to bed, and they'll be like, it's 7:30 in the morning, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care, you're going to your room. Like, and then today, like, they ate the breakfast all right and that, and then the lunchtime, they were like, no, we're just not having it, and they've been dead good. Like, for the whole of lockdown, they've been dead good eating the food, but today I had to make them three different lunches each. Like, and you're just like, ordinarily I wouldn't, but because they've been so good, and now this is going to be a problem that I'm going to have to deal with tomorrow, because I've caved today, unfortunately, but I didn't have the mental fortitude or the physical I just wasn't physically able to deal with it in any other way than just cave under the pressure of being a parent today.
This is how all parents end up in mad situations. And it's like a good example for people who are non-parents, but maybe a homeowners or live in a flat or whatever. And it's those things that you do in your house that you don't even think twice about. And a good example, it occurs to me, it's actually about your house, your old house, was that you used to have a hammer to keep the bathroom window closed. And it was like,
it cost me $5 to get that fixed, you know.
But this is the thing. Furious. It's the things that
2 years I've had a hammer holding my window shut for.
Exactly. Instead of just solving a problem there and then, and maybe taking half an hour out of your life or an hour or whatever it is there and then, you live with something being worse, consistently worse over a long spell of time to save yourself in the short term. And that's basically parenting in a nutshell. I could literally just, that's it. That's all parenting is. It's making a short-term compromise that costs you in long-term, painful, drawn-out, slow ways. And like, that's how you end up with your kids in bed, would you? And that's, you know, you end up saving yourself one night of hardship, but end up having broken sleep for the next 2 years because you just can't. And then it gets harder and harder to make that change, because in the house situation, it's fine because you just live with it and it's fine. It doesn't really matter, does it? But in a parenting sense, it eats away at your soul. Your physicality, everything that you need to function as a human being gets gradually eroded away. Like, we had one for ages where the tiles on the bath, inside the bath, at the shower bath, would fall off. So we found new methods to tape them up. So like a new, stronger methods of gaffer tape. So gaffer tape and then gorilla tape and all kinds. It went from like normal sellotape to literally like super glue on a roll. And eventually we just, you know, and it took water pissing through the kitchen ceiling 2 years later for us to finally just pay someone to come
and
in.
Really,
and
really what you should have just used is the kids' stickers, because they don't come off fucking anything. You know what I mean? That's what you should have used to stick the tiles up with. There's just no better adhesive in the world.
Or Weetabix that you've not seen within 2 minutes of it being finished.
You've not put in the sink straight away. Yeah. Perfect.
Absolutely.
Just put it on there with a big spoon, like fucking end of the Weetabix.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we're hanging in there and I'm doing okay. I'll talk about a few of the bits and pieces that I've kind of got up to this week, and then we want to talk about the Last Dance that's on Netflix at the moment, because, you know, Chris mentioned a couple of weeks ago we need something current, something that we can talk about that's coming out on a regular basis. And I messaged you the other day and went, oh mate, get onto this, the Last Dance, and you were like, yes boss, I'm watching it. I was like, oh my god, we've been watching the same program and not even talked about it. So yeah, we'll talk a bit about that in a bit, but I want to do some sort of hygiene before we dive into it. We'll do the page in a second. But you drew my attention to this week. Whoa, okay, yeah, that kind of hides you. That we are officially, it's official, the number one podcast in sport podcast, and in fact, all podcasts in St. Kitts and Nevis.
Thank you to the one listener in St.
We are absolutely smashing it over there. Number one, not just in sports, in all podcasts. Which I think is an astonishing achievement. And you just did a little bit of cursory research into this, because I had no idea. It's one of those names that crops up on like Footy Manager periodically. St. Kitts and Nevis is a dual island nation situated between the Atlantic Ocean and the Caribbean Sea. It's known for cloud-treaded mountains and beaches. Many of its former sugar plantations are now inns or atmospheric ruins. The larger of the two islands, St. Kitts is dominated by the dormant Mount Liamuga volcano, home to a crater lake, green vervet monkeys and rainforest crisscrossed hiking trails. Wowzers.
Fucking great, as long as my kids aren't there.
Anyway, yeah. And Chernobyl.
Fantastic. Oh, mate, I go.
Rusted fairgrounds.
Even with the fire raging through the forest nearby at the moment, I'm still thinking that's good. Wow. And it might not be as dangerous as living here with me at this moment in time, to be honest with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you remember what the population was?
It was like 52,000, so smaller than Anfield.
Still decent.
Bigger than Goodison.
Bigger than Goodison. Good to know. Thank you very much to the viewer and or listener or listeners. And let us know in the comments if you can, or if you can, email us matexpageach@gmail.com or tweet @matexpageach to get in touch with us, and we'll give you a little bit of we'll celebrate you in a unique way that only we can do.
And no pants celebration, Paul?
No, absolutely not. I mean, you feel free to celebrate with no pants on. We won't be doing that unless that is a reason that you'd want to sign up to our Patreon.
Hey, Payjack here from Mateon Payjack. We've got a brand new Patreon, patreon.com/MateXPayjack. If you want to show your support for the show and the podcast and the channel, then you can. We would love you forever. I promise you that. We're going to be doing monthly asking me anything or ask us anything. They promise to be informative, rather rude and fucking hilarious. I promise you that. We've also got a Discord group where we've been enjoying chatting to the patrons who are pre-existing, and there's loads of additional benefits. Go over there, patreon.com/MateXPage. We'll see you at the back end.
patreon.com/MateXPageach.
I think loads of great stuff going on, mate.
Yeah, that's next. Whatever it takes to keep our heads above water in trying times. Because who knows? By the time this goes out, football in England could be cancelled, and that means our main source of revenue, Red Men TV, is fucking dead. In which case, it's either selling ourselves on street corners, or you know, you involve yourself with our absolutely.
I've tried
Patreon.
That before, and I'm not that.
Wait, what?
I'm not that popular.
I don't know. I just don't think you're selling the goods right. I think you need tighter jeans. I don't think the jeans you wear celebrate your ass the way that they should.
To be honest, Paul, it's been 5 weeks of lockdown. I think they probably are celebrating my ass the way that they should.
They're celebrating that you've moved on to wearing your trackies.
they're shrinking my jeans, mate. I'm telling you. Yeah, it's not me, it's the jeans. They've got smaller in the six weeks of lockdown.
It's my T-shirts that are doing that. It's really weird. They're very tight around the midriff all of a sudden. It's mad how that happened. I phoned 111.
5G that.
Yeah, well, I wasn't sure.
Have you got a smart
about...
washing machine? Probably sorted that right out. I don't know how.
Listen, we're not fucking stupid, Chris. It's defo not 5G, but I did phone 111 just to check if it was a symptom of coronavirus. And it turns out I'm just a fat bastard. So great. So all like literally 2 years of watching what I eat and taking care of myself and losing weight, and I have managed to set fire to that in 5 weeks of lockdown. It's unreal. If you're struggling with similar things, let us know. Make us feel better about ourselves. Yes, we're number one in... It's St. Nevin's, or St. Nevison Kit.
Like, where did you think it was when I told you?
I did know it was in the Caribbean. I did know that.
It sounded like one of them places to me, but I didn't know. If I had to guess, it would have been around there, but I wouldn't have known. And then my second guess would have been somewhere near like a small mountain community in Wales.
Or Scotland, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, bear in mind, Chris, that I can't find Manchester on a map, so like I couldn't possibly point out a random place in the Caribbean. Like, but yeah, general, the double barreled stuff. You know, it's like Trinidad and Tobago kind of thing. Like, you mean you get a general general sense, don't you? Geography was never my thing. I spent too much time laughing at the teacher and his stupid trousers. Yes, I want to talk about
with the ginger and grey beard, Schofield, was it?
Schofield, we called him his copping off pants because he had one pair of smart teaching trousers.
See, I always had Mrs. Jones and we used to laugh at her because her bra was always showing. Then she had a mental breakdown and then she didn't think it was funny anymore.
It wasn't really funny anymore because it was, it wasn't. I mean, it was. Not that mental breakdowns are funny, but when you're in school, anything that causes a teacher to not be in the classroom is fucking hilarious, even if you're causing them to literally self-combust in front of you. That's not us being horrible, that's just us being, you know...
truthful.
Yeah, horrible. Right, shall we purge?
The purge.
I can purge.
You could pay. You're right. This is a point where, like in the first Avengers film, where Bruce Banner gets asked, like, you know, how are you going to get angry? And he said, do you want to know my secret? I'm always angry. And this is you at the moment, like, do you want to purge, Chris? Do you know my secret? I could purge in any given moment. If you just opened your mouth and spoke for more than 2 minutes, you'd end up on a purge.
I think I've been in a pretty bad mood. I'm like, but that's how I get through things, to be honest. So everyone who's watching this just thinks I'm a moody bastard. You're right, I am. But I'm okay to still have a laugh and stuff at the same time, I hope. So I'm purging my toenails this week, Paul.
Okay.
And the main reason for this is whilst my hair is given up on life. It's racing to the back of my head. Whilst I can't grow a beard ever, whilst I'm in the same boat as you, where these lockdown pounds are coming on thick and fast. Why does it take 2 years to lose weight and you can put it all back on in 3 days? I know that's just mad. It's not fair. Whilst all that is happening, my toenails have decided to go at it like a virgin getting his first bit of sex, and they are now growing at warp speed during lockdown. And I said, like, last week I didn't know when the weekends were. Now I do. My toenails need clipping every Saturday for some reason, and this wasn't a thing that happened nay 3 months ago. And all of a sudden I look like that fucking woman sprinter from the 90s who had curly long nails, the American sprinter or something. I can't remember her name. Gainer, maybe, something like that. Did you see it? Have you seen it? No. This is what's happening, and I can it's like I've slowed down so much in the lockdown that I can feel them growing.
Yeah, I can. Someone, anyone who's more scientifically minded, let us know. Do things like hair and nails grow more when you're in more sunshine? Because I think I always feel like this. No, it sounds daft, but
they pop out the next day.
Yeah. Does photosynthesis take place in one's hair? Now, I always have the sense that I always feel like, and that's the problem with being out, I always feel like I need a haircut the second it gets sunny. Like I spend the day outside in the sun. I'm like, oh, I had a haircut 2 weeks ago. Why do it speeds the process up. I don't know whether that's just a general sense for me or whether there is just something scientific behind it, but that would follow with the old toenails thing. You've defo had the feet out a bit more with the more pleasant weather. Maybe that's what it is. So you're purging your toenails, or you're purging toenails in general?
What's the point of them, actually? What did they do? I mean, like, if you tell me that to protect my toes, because I stub my toe a lot, right, and they do nothing for it.
Yeah, nothing more that, like, more skin wouldn't really do.
What is the point of a toenail? We're purging the toenail. If someone can tell me what the point is, it's not armour for your toes, is it? Let's be honest, it's not a fucking shield. I mean, anything will get through that, no problem whatsoever.
It's armour for a toe, but really, it's only armour for a really unprotected part of your toe. Like, if you just made the bit underneath your toenail as hard as the rest of your toe, then you wouldn't need to have it on. I'd get it, right? If it was like a toenail was over normal skin. So if your toenail came off, your skin was just as strong, then I'd go, okay, that's armour. That's not armour. That's not what armour does. It's effectively just another type of skin, isn't it, in that regard? Rubbish. Absolutely rubbish.
Toenails serve a purpose, which is to protect your toes. They're made from keratin, which is the same protein that makes up your skin, hair and fingernails. Yeah, I mean...
Nonsense.
They're not, it's not all round coverage, is it? You know what I mean? Exactly. It's not like a suit of armour is what you're trying to say
exactly,
to me.
Exactly.
It's more like just that. It's like, that's great, but what if I get shot in the arm?
Yeah, exactly. Let's use the old ghouls and ghosts game where the guy starts off in the suit of armour, you get hit, the suit of armour comes off and he's just in his boxies, and then he dies. In this instance, it's what your toe is underneath the toenail. It's not even skin. It's like going underneath the skin for it. Unnecessary. I either go all toenail or no toenail, as far as I'm concerned.
Let's go no toenail.
Yeah, because, I mean, would you lose some suppleness? I don't know if it was an issue.
I just don't want to cut them no more, to be honest. My back's sore and it hurts.
And it's not like it's helping you to, like, climb or anything, is it? You know what I mean? It's not like...
They
you
probably
know,
would on a Sunday.
If you've not trimmed them. You'd be like Spider-Man. You could have been
ta-da!
Like... You're really crap Wolverine. Would you get rid of fingernails while you're at it?
Only for the fact that I hate the way people judge you, whether you look at your fingernails like that or like that.
Friends did that. That's Friends' fault, because Friends made one way the gay way.
But
it's true though. That's why loads of people kick off about Friends, because it's got loads of that, like, they call it in tropes, like the not gays, because somehow it was seen as being less masculine or whatever. So, you know, fellas were afraid of this, and that was the generation of teenage boys growing up and doing all that stuff. I wonder if you're like 15, 16 or whatever now, if that's still a that's still a thing. But that's left over from us being teenage boys, that friends announcing that, and then basically we were in all boys school, and that was like seen as being a massive insult or whatever. So you wanted to try and be as masculine as you possibly could.
That classic, you've got something on your tongue. Oh, hello, sailor. You know what I mean?
Soccer AM had a lot of answer for that as well. Yeah, absolutely.
What are you purging, mate?
I am going to purge. I'm going to have to go a bit heavier on this one this week. I've had this in my head, and I need to phrase this, make sure I'm phrasing this right.
Okay.
I want to purge the need for us to treat the NHS like a charity. And I don't want to pay. I don't want to purge.
I think we've done this.
The thing that's absolutely been the middle, and more so now than it's ever been before. Because look, we have this thing. I'm not totally opposed to charities, but it was something I was raised with. And it comes from my dad, and my dad was one of those people, when people turn up on the doorstep and ask for donations for stuff, he'd basically say no. And he did the podcast with my dad, and it's worth going back and watching it from the first series. It's not all of this, but bits and pieces. But he was a social worker throughout in the 80s in Liverpool, when Liverpool was one of the most socially deprived cities in the world. And what he said, it doesn't filter down. So you think you're donating money to, so you might be donating money to like the starving children of Africa. Unless you physically go and put that £5 in a child's hand, that the percentage of which that actually reaches that person is so fractional that it's almost unnoticeable. And what it does is, what it leads is, it's this culture, and this is where we mention things like socialism a lot, and we mention what's wrong with the Conservative government to a.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
More socialist governments. I don't want to say Labour government because they're just as bad in so many ways. Is that when you start publicly funding stuff, so you start supporting things, it lets the government off the hook. And I can't stand that. And it's never been more prevalent than it is now because of the NHS. When you've got people like fellas running doing marathons in the back garden to raise millions of pounds for the NHS, it's not our job. We pay our taxes to fund the NHS. And the onus is on the government to provide this money. That's on them to support these things. Go and find the money from somewhere. I don't care where you find it from. Find it by taxing people who can afford the taxes more. It shouldn't be double dip for us, so we pay our taxes. We work hard, but we are limited by our earnings, because we're never going to be multi-millionaires or billionaires. It's never going to happen. So we pay our taxes like normal people, and then we're expected to find extra money on top to pay for it. And it's not, because millionaires who pay taxes contribute too, so they don't need to give more either. But again, it goes back to find the money from people who don't pay the taxes. Find your money from elsewhere. Find your money, whether it comes back through renationalisation, whatever. But this notion that this is what's going to happen is that when the pandemic's over and they're going to come back to it and go, either all that funding will dry up and it'll be another excuse for the Tories to continue to sell off the NHS, or it'll just, you know, we'll see the NHS collapse because you grow to meet whatever capital you've got available to you, effectively. So if we keep treating the NHS as a charity, it's either going to end up as a charity or it's going to be gone. And that will be the fault of us, because we've been tricked into thinking that the responsibility is on us to make the NHS right. Private enterprises shouldn't be buying protective clothing for the NHS. The fucking government should be buying that, because it's their asset. They need to go and sort that out. It's not on us to sort it out.
You're absolutely right. And I'm sure we did this 2 weeks ago, to be honest with you. I don't think as succinctly as that, to be fair, but I 100% agree with that. And it gets us all, it marginalises what the NHS is for a start. And it also, when you say get off the hook, because I agree absolutely with everything you said, I'll maybe expand on a couple of little bits. Mm-hmm. Off the hook in that they can just go back to, they can get away with it every single time. Like, so if the Tories are in power for another pandemic, they'll know it's fine. We can keep underfunding because this is going to happen again. They'll find the money from somewhere to keep this going. Well, that doesn't solve the issues of the NHS in any way, shape or form, does it? Mm-hmm. It's like that. Is it the old Oxfam advert where it's like, you can give them a fish, but it's actually better to buy them a fishing rod type of thing, you know what I mean? Like, what the NHS needs is funding properly, from the bottom or from the top down, and consistent funding, whether there's a pandemic or there isn't a pandemic, and that's what we're letting the government off the hook with right now.
Yeah, 100%. It's a more nuanced point that we can do in one easy digestible rant. It's something I've been thinking about for a while, but that's why I want to be careful on the phrasing. This isn't an attack on people who are fundraising for the NHS, because these are people with nothing but the best intentions at heart. These are good people going out of their way in a crisis, and that's the disgusting thing.
The point is they shouldn't have to do it. We're letting the government off the hook.
Exactly. If the effort that we put into fundraising went into actually holding the government to account, you'd be amazed at what we'd be able to achieve. But we're still in this world, Chris. And look, we've seen it in the small microcosm of football. And I remember, like, we've been involved in protests for things, whether it's like ownership protests or ticket price protests or whatever. And I remember ahead of all those things, you have a core of people who say, don't bother, it's not worth your time, you never change anything. But you can, when people get together on things, they can make sweeping changes, they can affect massive change, and they can hold bigger organisations than themselves accountable, because one person can't, but collectively there's more of us than there are of them, so to speak. I can say at the moment it's a shame that and maybe it boils down to trust, because do we just not trust the government to do what needs to be done? And that should be a mirror that the current government, and I'm like, it's not like, and this is not necessarily a fully rant against the Conservatives, because it's not like the NHS was flourishing under Labour, to be perfectly honest, but it's a kind of thing where they should, if I was in government, I was a government official, I would feel ashamed that people were having to support that. You know what I mean? Like, we're having to fund that themselves when that's their responsibility to do it. But they don't, most politicians, or, you know, seem to feel absolutely no shame, and they seem to do absolutely nothing about it. So, yeah, viva la revolution when it eventually comes down to it. Eh? So, yeah, there you go. It is what it is, unfortunately, for now, because it's not like we can get, like I said last week, it's not like we can get together and protest it. So... we can start a hashtag, but that's pretty much all we can do at this point. There's a couple of things I want to get out of the way. I want you to tell me about your week. I'm going to start with one thing to kick us off. The Virgin Media ad. So loads of people have messaged me about it. Probably most people, I guess, will have seen it at this point. I'm like the first person on the current Virgin Media advert. I did not realise this was going to be quite as big as it is. So as the story goes, you messaged me and said, have you seen this email? There's this person desperately trying to get hold of you to get a clip of some footage. And it's weird. We won't reveal the amount. It's enough money for me to say yes instantly, but not a life-changing amount of money in any stretch. But it was it's this amount of money. And I went, yeah, go ahead, that's enough. That's sound enough money for the very minimal effort it's going to require from me. All I have to do is effectively say, yes, you can use a clip from an existing video of mine. They sent me an example of what it was going to look like. So they sent me the previous one, and it was on YouTube, Chris, and it had like 20,000 views. And I thought, sound, I'm getting paid X amount of money, which means that it's more money than I earned making the original video.
Where's your fucking finder's fee, lad?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
It was enough to have a finder's fee attached, let me tell you that, boys and girls.
Yeah, definitely. The my lad's been begging me for his contribution because he's ended up in it. But
He's the star?
He is the star of it, absolutely. But yeah, I thought this is just going to be, this is one of those ideas. You get these every now and again, don't we, where you get a company that's short on the deadline, they've got no real idea what they're doing, and they've got too much money. It doesn't happen often, but every now and again, and it's never like stupid money, but it's enough for you to go, yeah, go ahead, I'll take that. We had something with, was it Coca-Cola a while back that was very, very similar, when someone goes, here's how much money we're going to pay you to do this, and you go, I'll have to think about that, mute mic.
Can you fucking believe this?
It was one of those situations where that got passed to me, and I was very blasé about it. And that was because normally when people license clips, you go, yeah, fine, it doesn't really matter. If I'm generally happy with the company, which I am, I use Virgin Media for my internet and that, like, and the money's all right, yeah, fine, that sounds fine to me. I don't have to record anything else, great, perfect. And then they put the advert out, and then I realised what clip it was they'd used, which, as you mentioned, it's the clip with my son jumping up and down in the background, which, did we do this? Did I tell this story on here about how, in fact I did, didn't I, about how, maybe how that came about, was it was my knowing I had coronavirus, like I'm not feeling very well, but I'm on lockdown and blah, blah, blah video. And I was just updating people on my YouTube channel, and Jack come in and started bouncing around, and it was good fun. And then he just wouldn't go away, and he was being dead annoying. So I had to pause, cut, put the phone down, bollock him to get him to leave, and then carry on like it was all fine and happy. It looks great in the edit. And then it ended up being that clip that they've used.
The one that you just remind you how angry you got with him. And now there's hundreds of people reminding you about it all the time, and you're just getting more and more annoyed.
Yeah, and there's two major issues I've had with this subsequently, Chris, is it's fine because it's great, you know, nothing wrong with a bit of exposure and all that kind of stuff. I hadn't showered in like 2 days on that video clip, because I'd been ill. I'd been in bed, pinned to my bed for 4 days by that point. I'd obviously been dead ill. So like I managed to just straighten my hair out enough that it didn't look shocking, and filmed it. So I'm unwashed, badly unwashed, and of course subsequently what we've had is that everyone has been reminded that Richard Branson is a fucking knobhead. And this week, what's happened, Chris?
The worst internet company in the world has now been, everybody knows it's Virgin Media, because it's completely gone down. And now you're the face of an internet company that can't provide internet. And let me tell you this, boys and girls, it wasn't enough money to be that face.
No, honestly, the amount of...
Why's your fucking internet gone down? You must feel like Linda. Like, you know what I mean? Honestly, Sam Rice and all that. He's like, why's your internet gone down, Paul?
Honestly, I've had not loads, to be fair, and it's funny because obviously it's not to do with me, and it's not like I'm working for, you know, you think about there's some terrible companies, that genuinely terrible companies you could associate with, and we obviously don't and never would, so I'm not asked, but it is funny the amount of people, like even if it's only in a relatively small amount, who are like Paul, any chance you can have a word with them? Like, just to clarify, I was approached for this through a third-party agency who also then instructed a third-party production company to cut the advert together for them. It's not like Richard Branson knocked around ours and took his prerequisite 6-foot distance and was like, Paul, with his big smile and his long hair and his permatan, said, would you like to have a bit of the money that I'm going to use to buy off the NHS to be in an advert? It didn't quite work that way. And it's not my fault. It's not my fault. I've got the internet as well. My internet's been fucked. I got a phone call off my wife, who's trying to entertain two kids with no fucking internet in the house. I get that. I can take the heat from that, but I can't take the heat for
for it being town in general.
Oh my God. And I also can't take the heat for whether what percentage of the company Richard Branson owns. I'm dead sorry if he owns more of it than he does, and I'm dead sorry that he doesn't pay taxes. He's a fucking massive gobshite. But anywho. Yeah, that video, Chris. So, by the way, last I checked, that Twitter video had been seen by 3 million views. I don't leave the house without having a shower. But, ladies and gentlemen, I do not leave the house without doing my hair. And I've ended up
You said that Charlie had to entertain the kids with no internet. and then I zoned out.
I know. What do I do, Paul? What do I do? I fucking know. I don't know.
Get off the phone and beat them with it.
Yeah, dig a new
fiver. Just get off the phone and knock them out quick. It's impossible. It's not happening.
There's just a box on our wall. It's actually inside the medicine cabinet. You open it up and it's got a little break glass and it's just a bottle of super strength Calpol with an extra size syringe. It's like, oh, you feeling a bit poorly there, kids? Sounds, yeah, great.
Should I really? Daddy, is that the right spoon? Yes. It's a serving spoon of Calpol.
It's a ladle of Calpol now off to bed with you. Funny that. As you all, we've been going, you've been putting an obscene amount of preparation time into our Football Manager series.
I have, yeah. And funnily enough, I've not actually played the game since, I think it's over a week now, apart from on the stream and stuff. But you know what? I've massively enjoyed doing it. I mean, it's been ages since I've got, like, my teeth into something like this again. Like, I realise, you know, the older you get, and the like, especially when you're locked in and you're kind of on your own a lot more and stuff like that, you do tend to look in at yourself a little bit more, and then you might realise something about yourself. And I was chatting to Kat about it, I think it was last night, and I was like, I enjoyed working in restaurants. For all that I hated working in restaurants, I enjoyed the job itself as well, because it always changed, it was always different. It's what I like about Redmen, but what people don't see about, like, Redmen is all the stuff that's just the same behind the scenes, and that stuff gets me down big time. And so to be able to go in, and it's different, it's not hard work, it's time consuming work, but you can see a finished product at the end of it, and it's new, and it's not something I've ever done before. So therefore it challenges you. I've been putting mad hours into it, but it doesn't feel like work, you know. Yeah. I've realised I'm turning around at like 11 o'clock at night, and I've said, I'll just go up to Kat, I'll just go up for an hour, and then I'm like, shit, it's 11 o'clock, oh God, she's gone to bed, and I've missed it and stuff. And like, so I've been doing that most days, and it's like, whenever I get on, like, I'm like a dog with a bone. If I get into something, I'm like a one-track mind, aren't I? And I can't focus on anything else, and I'll wake up and I'll start, and I'll do it until I go to bed, and that's what I've been like. So to have that sort of passion back has been absolutely fantastic. To have that at the same time as parenting two children, not great, but I am okay for the most part, because I do zone a lot of stuff out when I'm in that like one track mind. So that's what I've been doing, which has been great. Still been going for me walks of an evening and phoning people, which has been great as well. The kids now boss on the bikes, which is boss, because now Robin's flying around. She can turn left, she can turn right, she can stand up and pedal and stuff now as well. We've been making forts, we've been doing face painting. Lyra's got her little bike and she's on the go as well. And they've been great, all told. They do me heading, but then I suppose I must do their heading. But no, it's been great. And again, it's nice to spend the time with them when you're not working. And you can have fun and stuff like that, because, you know, there is a bit more of that nowadays. But it's been a good week, actually, all told. I get wound up about little things, and that's fine. Like, but the big things are sound, which is good.
The Footy Manager stuff's right, though, isn't it? Because it's like, you need, I think at this stage of life now, where we are, I don't enjoy, I said this the week, I'm not enjoying my downtime. My downtime is supposed to be when the kids go to bed. That's me and Charlie's time. That's us to be grown-ups. That's us to do fun stuff, to do the stuff that you can only do when there's no kids around.
That's why you're working. You're supposed to. That's what you're supposed to do. And until you realise it's like, what's the point? You know, here's the best example. Sorry, before I let you carry on, mate, is we've got loads of nice bottles of wine, and then you'd be like, oh, save that. What's the point? Why can't you just have it and enjoy it? Like I had six beautiful bottles of wine for ages. I was like, when's the right time to open this? When I'm fucking thirsty and I want a drink is the answer to that. And you know, if it's with a nice meal, that's enough for me nowadays. I don't need to save a bottle of wine for a super special occasion. I'll just have the bottle of wine. I'll buy myself another one.
Yeah.
It's not a problem, like.
Yeah. The thing that's getting us, and me and Charlie having this both though, is like you get to the end of the day and you need to feel like you've accomplished something, and it's different again because she's looking after the kids, and obviously I'm working. But it's,
her accomplishment is getting them to bed,
exactly.
And then she should celebrate in whatever way. If that's a bottle of vodka, sound do it.
But it's mad because she's still. But the thing is, compared to what it's like being a full time teacher, it's laughing. Because as much as it's hard work and it's tiring looking after your two kids,
doesn't she?
Well, it's tiring, exactly. It's tiring in a completely different way because you take it more personally when your kids are the way they are, and you're more responsible, and you're more responsible for all the individual things that you are. You know, you're not also as a teacher then taking them into the dining hall and serving them up food and making sure that they eat the food, and you're not also overseeing them and negotiating every single raised voice that happens on the playground and all that kind of stuff. So it's a more emotionally tiring in some ways, or it's different. But you know, she's coming in from being a teacher, and then the amount of work and the pressure that comes with being a teacher, she's done, so she needs to do nothing of an evening. I've had a bit of that. I was struggled this weekend because I'd worked a lot last week, you know. Again, it sounds mad, and a caveat is always like, it's not like I'm not a frontline worker, it's not like I'm saving lives, it's not like I'm working 14 hour days in hospitals and stuff, not, but a job's a job. You work hours, you pour yourself into it, you put a lot of like energy and all the stuff that is you at your best, you have to pour that into a job when you're really into your job, and there's only so much of that you can give out in a day. So often when you come to the end of the day, you've got that buffer's empty, and all you want to do is lie on the couch and do fuck all and lie there and do nothing in front of the telly or whatever. But we're also finding this thing of you need to be stimulated. We need to feel like we're creating something or learning something or doing whatever. And that's what we've been doing more than not even. That's why I get the football manager stuff, is that you want to feel as though you've got a you've learned like four new skills in the last 2 weeks preparing for the footy manager stuff. So there's a great sense of satisfaction that comes with that. I'm struggling with a bit of that because so much of it is just getting the general stuff done. But it's nice having a cup when you have a couple of little wins and you get a couple of little successes and stuff along the way. She started doing videos for the kids in her class, like reading stories, and I've been helping her, teaching her how to edit and stuff. So I've actually, even though I normally can't stand that, I get really frustrated with that kind of stuff, I've actually enjoyed being able to do that. I've had the sense of accomplishment from going through all that kind of stuff. But I think everyone kind of needs a little bit of that in their lives, because otherwise, I think it sounds stupid, doesn't it, but you can have too much time off.
Like 2 days is enough. Hmm. 2 days is enough for me, really. Like, if you're going back in and doing something that's just the same as what you did the week before, like, yeah, everyone gets bored of that, don't they? It doesn't matter what your job is. You can probably earn as much money in the world as you like, but if your job's boring and mundane, it's boring and mundane. Some people are wired that way. Kat's very much like, she wants a job where she can go in and do exactly the same and not really have to think, because it allows her to focus her energies on what she wants to do, which is like, you know, being a good mother, being a good wife, and doing other things that she enjoys, like her hobbies and stuff like that. So she pours her more of herself's probably the right way. She's a hard worker, but she doesn't want to take anything home. Do you know what I mean? She just wants to go in and do it and come back, and that's fine. And so there are loads of people that will be out there like that, and that's the way that they want to do it. That's fine.
When I'm at my lowest, I am so envious of people who have that ability to go and do a job, and it not affect them, and them not take it home, and them not carry it with them. And then, you know, there's people who, my cousin's saying this to me, there's just people who just want to go and earn, put a figure to it, 40 grand a year, 50 grand a year or whatever. That's where they want to get to, and they want to have the boss telly, they want to have the best console, they want to have a nice house and an expensive couch and all those kind of, all the trappings of it. And that's, and they want to go on two good holidays a year. There's nothing wrong with that. That's amazing. But and it's us, the fucking idiots who've chosen to do the other path. And I'll get loads more job satisfaction than people who are that. And there's probably people who are in that situation going, I actually would love to have a job that I'm genuinely passionate about, I'm sure, because we're never happy. The grass is always greener, isn't it? So I've got tons of job satisfaction, but also I don't have the real, I don't get the, you know, you can come to the end of the day and you've just got nothing left to give to the rest of your life. And that's one thing that lockdown's been good for, I guess. You know, we all clamour, really, particularly when you've got kids, you realise how much of it you miss. And I think, you know,
at least now everyone's fucking missing it, Paul. You know what I mean?
I was
trained for this, really. Yeah. We haven't gone out with our mates to the pub for bloody ages because you're a parent. So all you're telling me is I'm not going to the pub for once in 6 months. That's about it. I'm not missing so much. Like, it's just the getting off the house and going. I'm genuinely missing going to the office. Like, so much going to the office is just the thing that I want to do. I was saying to you before this, wasn't I? I'm just cramped at the moment. I'm claustrophobic. I'm working in a tiny little room, and it's just like everything's dead close. It's just horrible. That's what I want. I just want a bit of freedom, a bit of space. I don't even need to go and do anything. You know what I mean? Yeah. Although that would be nice. I mean, just. The thought of walking down that road to see Anfield again, that's going to be something else, isn't it? The thought of walking down that road and seeing Anfield Stadium.
I've noticed there's the trend started to happen now where people are reaching saturation points, which is slightly before breaking point on lockdown. And I'm starting to see the trend, because I talked about this a couple of weeks ago about like TikTok. I don't look at it myself, but I get it via Charlie. She does. And I've noticed the trends have gone from, you're still getting isolation challenges, stuff to keep people entertained. You're still getting skits and gags and that. But you're getting more and more sketches that are like what I will be like when lockdown is over. So like me facing the end of lockdown. And I think people are starting to, and I'm doing it now more and more. You find your mind wandering and drifting to, and it's almost become a mantra. We say, me and Charlie say to each other, when this is over, we're gonna get on a plane and we're just gonna go somewhere for a bit. So you know what I mean? I'm just gonna go to a rooftop bar in an expensive hotel and drink expensive cocktails in the sunshine for a few hours. That's like, I'm starting to reach that stage of lockdown of dreaming of what lies ahead. Well, what lies ahead is just more of this, because this is what it was prior to lockdown, except just slightly closer to people who you aren't related to.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to being in a beer garden. And I can't even remember the last time I did it. It was probably the Abbey when we used to go for a walk last summer in the woods or something. That's like, you know, going to Chilwell Abbey, having a beer there, that's a belter of an idea, isn't it? Mm. That's going to be good, man.
I just going
to restaurants and making... Do you know what I should have purged, Paul, more than anything?
Go on.
The dishes. Oh, it's disgusting how many you go through when you eat every meal in your house, isn't it? Oh, my days, mate. My dishwasher's quaking at the moment. She's on two runs a day, almost. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. I mean, like, it would be all right. There's four of us. So you would think, all right, we're all having pretty much three meals a day here. So there's 12 plates, let's say, except I've got kids, so every time they have a drink they get themselves a new cup, or they can't find it, or they've switched it, or they've spilt it, or they've got broken it or something. So we must go through 35 cups or glasses a day, you know what I mean? And then knives, like, everything they have is on fucking toast or needs buttering or something, isn't it? So you've got hundreds of, I reckon the tavern where I used to work didn't have enough knives to get through one day in my house with two kids. Just didn't have enough. And they could see 200 people. We're going through knives, mate, like there's no tomorrow. You know what I mean?
What's that about?
No. And the dishes, the pans, it's just a war.
Me and Charlie have done a Would You Rather video that I'm editing at the moment to go out on my channel. And we got asked the question, would you rather never have to clean the bathroom again or never have to do dishes again? And she said never have to clean the bathroom again. I said dishes. And of course, that's because she cleans the bathroom. I do the dishes, largely. And she was like, well, clean the bathroom. I was like, I get it, because the bathroom's a horrible job. because ultimately the toilet's in the bathroom and the things that get stuck in the plug in the bathroom. See, and all that stuff.
That's not for me. We don't have a toilet in the bathroom.
Yeah. But all that stuff. But like the dishes, I said, think every time you eat or drink or often like carry one of those things, you use in preparation, in clean up, in all every element of the day.
You clean the bathroom once a week. You spend an hour in your kitchen a day doing the dishes.
I would get rid of clean. If I could never clean the dishes again, and that's not because the thing is, this is what people do. I think, Chris, and I don't know whether this is how you ended up in this situation, but this is how people end up with dishwashers because they think that the dishwasher is the answer to not doing the dishes anymore, and it is, but it isn't, is it? Because you doing the dishwashers just becomes it's a replacement ball, like. It's a replacement, but like it's if you compare the work that the human has to do, yes, there's less work involved in cleaning when you're just loading the dishwasher. But Chris, honest answer, emptying the dishwasher, that's just the new cleaning the dishes, isn't it? You know what I mean? It becomes that like, oh, can I be asked to do either load it or empty it or whatever.
It's an annoying job. But it's nowhere near as annoying as having to clean all the plates.
Oh no, but it's all relative, isn't it?
But the dishwasher doesn't replace doing the dishes. I still spend longer doing the dishes than I do stacking the dishwasher because, I've got nice pans, nice knife, nice knives, all these type of things, and they can't go in the dishwasher. Or if you're putting pans in there, they get wrecked anyway, so you're wasting your own money. So yeah. I have just as many things, probably more things that don't go in the dishwasher in a day than do. So like the thought of spending twice as long at the sink is not a good thing, but it is, you're right. The dishwasher just becomes another job and not a job that ends like that. It's a 2-day job because you start it of an evening stacking it and you're emptying it of a morning when you're getting up, you know what I mean? So you're spreading that over 2 days anyway. I'm going to purge the dishes as well.
Why not? Go for it. Go full page on that. Right, let's talk about The Last Dance. I would time code this, but I'm too lazy, so if you want to time code this and do it in the comments, you're more than welcome to. I mentioned the other week, I haven't really been watching TV. I haven't really been doing stuff, but it came about, I said, I was just so worn out last week. I'd had so many like early starts and late nights and stuff that I just needed just something to entertain me. And I don't know how it happened, but I ended up sat in like the kitchen. The telly was there, and I went, I'm just gonna lash this on. And I don't know. I genuinely don't know how I was left alone long enough because everyone was milling around me. Our kitchen's like, you know, kitchen back room's open plan, as you know. So the kids were there and about, but I put it on because I'm a, like, I don't know if you know this, but like, I'm not a basketball fan. Like, I mean, what I mean is, I really like basketball, and I think it's a fantastic sport. But I also don't go out of my way to watch it, and I haven't paid attention to it in a long time. But in the '90s, the Chicago Bulls and that Chicago Bulls team in particular was like, if I was a fan of any team, it was that team, because of course everyone is the biggest team if you're kind of a casual observer.
I had a Chicago Bulls shirt and I had a Chicago Bulls basketball. I've always found basketball highly entertaining, and it's never on the television when I'm flicking through the channels. But if it is, I will watch it because it's fucking boss to watch. But I'm like you. Once the Bulls kind of ended, I got a little bit of it with the Cavs, obviously. Over the last sort of 10 years, while they got good, but they didn't. It didn't pierce your life like Michael Jordan and the Bulls. So when this documentary was on there, I was like, oh God, this is like a new sport. This is like real, like I get to watch sports and find out about a man who was like the biggest sports star in the world because for some reason he had cameras with them for that year.
Yeah.
Go ahead, absolute no brainer on putting this bad boy on.
100%. Like I'd seen people talking about it, and my immediate reaction was a bit like, I'm not sure if it was just like a pure focus on Jordan. I'm not sure I would have been I would have watched it. Like, because like Zidane is my favourite footballer. He's even shot. His crotch is in shot behind me.
No, he's in my shot.
He's in your shot. There's a massive picture of Zidane behind me. Like, Zidane's my favourite non-Liverpool footballer ever, but I've never watched like the Zidane movie because it doesn't have enough to it. But when I watch the trailer, and it's one of the things I would actually love to purge is the autoplaying trailers on Netflix.
Good show.
But I watched that and I went, oh wow, I didn't realise what it was all about, because I'd never really thought too much about it. I haven't thought about that Bulls team and, you know, got him since the time. And the story of like it being their, you know, the last season of the great, you know, Chicago Bulls team or whatever. And I was like, I don't know enough about this. I was aware of them being successful. Like, I've never watched a basketball game start to finish, but I would have watched in the 90s, I think Channel 4 used to have the highlights. So I would watch, the same way I'd watch Gazette of Football, I would watch the basketball highlights from the week. It was just something that was on and enjoyable. And it's mad because there's a moment, and I actually tell if I remember it wrong, is that moment with the championship winning one with Scottie Pippen dives and intercepts it and throws the ball down the court and they score the winning basket to win the championship. And I remember that. I remember that at the time. And that stuck with me for my entire life. So watching... And the thing that's great about that I'm enjoying most about this, Chris, is if I just thought it was a Michael Jordan documentary, I'd have steer clear. The same way I would steer clear of a Tiger Woods documentary, or I would steer clear of a Zidane documentary, or I would steer clear of a... And certain, because global superstars are so well trained and they're so guarded and they've got I don't think you get honesty out of them. But what's happened with that documentary is it's been so long, and Michael Jordan, I think, is now at a point in his life where he can actually just, he can tell all, and he can give a pure, uncut, honest opinion on stuff, and know that it's not going to impact his marketability, it's not going to impact his Nike deal, it's not going to impact any of these other bits and pieces. And for that, hearing these guys talk about it is one of the most gripping things I've watched.
It is, and you know, I love these like retrospective football things or retrospective sports documentaries and stuff like that. This one's unique in that there has been so much time passed. I think you're right there. And for me, it's better because it's not just Jordan, because you're actually getting other people's stories. So if it was just Jordan and everybody was talking about Jordan, and I said, and you, let's say I invited you to the Chris Pajak documentary, and you're like, oh God, Chris Pajak was the star. Like, let's just pretend, right? Chris Pajak was the star and all that type of stuff. And you're going to come in and I'm going to ask you questions. You're going to be a tit. No, you're not. You're just going to go, oh yeah, he was amazing and blah, 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 blah. But when Pippen tells his side of the story, that episode's about him. When it's Rod... Yeah. Rodman, that episode's about him. They get to tell the warts and all truth, because it's not just a Michael Jordan documentary. They're talking about everything. You know what I mean?
You know what it was that sold me ultimately was when I realised it was going to be about Scottie Pippen as well, because he was my favourite player at the time. And it's weird that it ended up partially because of obviously the Bulls being Megan or whatever, but also because of NBA Jam at the time. Jordan had being his own deal meant he wasn't in NBA Jam, so Scottie Pippen was the best player on the Chicago Bulls team, and that was the team I always used to play on there. So I had, and again, just in terms of those moments and that moment that was frozen in time in my head, to hear more about him was fascinating. And then when I was like, oh, and there's an episode effectively on Dennis Rodman, because my knowledge of Rodman, my memories of that team is Jordan, Pippen and Kukoc, is it? Some of this is NBA Jam, right? And some of it is just obviously my memories of it.
Like, my memory was Rodman, but
like, I remember, I was aware of Rodman being at the Bulls, but I never really thought about him. Rodman for me is Dennis Rodman, the celebrity. Yeah. You know, I know him more as the guy who was in WCW, who come in and as an amazing special guest and did a few bits and pieces there with Hulk Hogan and all that kind of stuff. And him going out with Madonna and him being the larger-than-life character and all the mad hair colours and him being that cultural icon that he had the knock-on effect. So, like, there was, like, a player called Ibrahim Bar, who used to play for Milan in French International, who he dyed his hair and inspired by Rodman. And then you had... So he was such an icon that he created these waves in entertainment and all that kind of stuff. And I always had him down as being a massive, massive bellend. And what the documentary showed me is he is, but it's more like it's mad seeing him in the 90s being like that, because if he was like that in modern sport now, I don't think people would care as much. But it's mad to see this, like, you're looking at these historic, like it's historic footage of Jordan, the greatest basketball ever, and you got Rodman being this lunatic around him, and you're like, it's mad. He's like a cartoon character in that world.
Today he's just one of the he was the outlier for everything that's come. You know, Paul Pogba would just look like normal next to Dennis Rodman or whatever, or Rodman would look normal next to Pogba. And there's so many sports stars that are like that now that you just kind of get used to. But he was the first one, obviously, in America. I think that you know, they probably have had some offensive linemen or defensive linemen in the NFL. They wear helmets, so you don't see how strange they look or what they're wearing or anything like that. But Rodman was in the best team. What I found interesting was the pre-Chicago Bulls stuff. I didn't know he was that good for that long before he even got to the Bulls, because I'd never heard of, like, was it Detroit?
The Pistons.
Never heard of that team. Like, I'd have been seven when they were dominating the Eastern Conference and stuff like that. So I found that really interesting. And what I love about all these things is that you do learn things, because it's not possible to know everything about. Like, if let's take my shite memory out of it. But if you'd said, you know, this season Liverpool, if we talk about it in 20 years, you're not going to tell me anything that I haven't already found out. But as a 7-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 15-year-old, there's going to be loads that you just missed. I remember, what was the O.J. Simpson series that they did?
Yeah.
And now, not a documentary, but that was the biggest news story in the world. I remember it so vividly, and I knew so little about it, and I was shocked by how little I knew about it. So the Bulls thing's the same. I'm getting to watch it. Like, I genuinely can't remember what's going to happen at the end of this season.
Well, exactly.
Like, I was, when you said you wanted to talk to me about it, I was made up that you said at the beginning, I kind of don't really know, because I'm watching it like it's new sport to me now. Yeah. Like, no spoilers, all right, on Twitter.
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly. And that's it. You know, no, we probably should have said no spoilers really up top, because it's not really, you know, we're not really giving away the key points on it as such. But what's great, what I'm enjoying most about it is, like, how they became that. The structure of the series, speaking as a wannabe filmmaker, the way they structured that is absolutely, absolutely incredible. The time jumps, effectively, so you're moving through the final season, but also it's jumping back in time to the start of the main players' careers, and also the rise of that Bulls team at the same time. So it makes sense that it goes back to Jordan, because of the main players, he's the one who's there and the team's built around, and then Pippen comes in and Rodman comes in later and what have you. And it's fascinating for the Jordan stuff. Like, I've never really cared enough about it. Michael Jordan to me is the Jordan that it's talking about, the Last Dance Jordan, the late 90s or mid to late 90s, you know, leading into Space Jam Jordan, when he's a fella, he's doing the tail end of his career. To see him, and you're watching, like, the college footage of him playing, and seeing the early days of his early career. Now, I'm sure that, like, there'll be American watching this, you will have grown up, and this stuff's mythologized, it's more accessible, it'd be more in the, you know, the media lexicon
on NBA
and stuff like that.
Or whatever, you know what I mean?
Like, exactly. Don't have so, like, the story about Jordan breaking his foot will be, like, everyone will know, more people will know that probably, but for me, like, I know, that was just, like, wow, what, you know, like, and to talk about him being told, when he talks about, like, there's a 10% chance that he could end your career, and he goes, but you're saying there's a 90% chance that it'll be fine, I focus on the 90%, then you've got, like, the Bulls owner going, he just doesn't get it. Like, 10% is like, if there's a 10% chance that you were like, I'm about to lose the greatest basketball ever because you're a dickhead and won't just rehabilitate properly, they can't make that business decision. And it's just, when you hear some of the biggest stars of the time, you've got Larry Bird in there, and they're talking about him, like, it's hard to put this into terms, really. It got me thinking about Liverpool in a really weird way, and I wondered if Liverpool will ever have the best player in the world, you know, because it's mad when you've got, you know, people talk about, like, Patrick Ewing was obviously massive around the time as well. I think I had Patrick Ewing trainees and all that kind of stuff going back in the day. But the way that people just like watch him and just like, there's no doubt. The way that people talk about Messi,
You know. And it's, for me, it was. Larry Bird has always been a name to me, and not a sportsman. I've always known the name.
Yeah.
But Magic Johnson for me was that. Because he was the best basketballer. He was the one that permeated me as a child until Jordan came along. So for him to sit there and go, there's no doubt in my mind that Jordan's the best there's ever been. And I'm like, oh God. I genuinely, even growing up, I knew Jordan was the superstar. But I always thought it was close between the two of you and you're there. And I'm like, oh, Ronaldo and Messi would never say that about each other. It must have been a big gap. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And seeing the way he deals with the press, I mean, it's funny because the press were bad in America then to Jordan. You know, those microphones when they're pinning him back and he's against the wall and they're all in his face. And you're like, this must have been strange at that point because, God, that would look strange now. Yeah. And, you know, there's so many more people. You know, you think about Liverpool press conferences sometimes. You know, we've been lucky enough to go to, like, the Champions League final ones over the last couple of years and stuff. And there's hundreds of reporters there. But that's the Champions League final. You know, that was like, they're pinning him back and it was just like...
Well, do you remember, the closest I've seen, do you remember the pre-season games when, like, Klopp would be interviewed on the pitch after the game? That's the closest thing I've seen to it, where everyone's just trying to get their audio device in the face, and he's getting that constantly, wherever he goes, wherever he stops, before, outside of it, because he's that global star. It's a mad... one of the things I really enjoy about it, when you hear great, I mean, thing is, some of this is becomes mythologized to some extent, and there was a clip I watched this week. I don't know if you saw it. Robin Van Persie was interviewed, and he was asked about talking to his kids. So he said his kid's playing for, like, the Ajax under-14s, and he picked him up, and he was driving home, and his kid was complaining about because he was on the bench, and he basically says, "I'd highly advise. I think I've got it on my Twitter account. I'd highly advise people check it out." But he says, like, "You sound like a loser," and he said, like, you know, winners don't complain about other, don't blame other people for their problems. They go out there, they work harder, and they know that if it's not working, it's their fault. They've got to redouble themselves down and be whatever. And I was reminded of that while I was watching the Bulls stuff, is that the stories of all these guys, they're all coming from different backgrounds. Some of them more like spiral counselors, like the backgrounds that Scottie Pippen and that coming from, you know, some of the, they come from really, really tough backgrounds. But what you got from all of them was they all had a moment where they were told it's probably not going to work for you. And then they've got, and some of it was luck, because how many of the stories go, and he came back the next summer and he went from being 5'10 to being 6'7.
What's that about?
Yeah.
Like, what are you feeding them over there, mate? Can I have some, please? Because, as if you need to grow 6 inches when you're 6 foot over a summer.
Yeah, I know, but some of it is luck. But I really like that what you get about it, and you get this about elite sports people, and that's been my experience of the truly best of the best in football as well. They just have an insatiable urge to improve themselves, to make themselves better at what they do, and that's one of the really good things about it, and being able to, and that's why it's so well constructed, the series so far, because they've got the footage there that shows it, and they've got the testimony of so many people around it and so many respected people around it. It is probably, you know, no one's going to be, there's obviously a degree to which Michael Jordan's just, there's an innate talent that he possesses, but also, you know, just talk about his mum gets taught, he comes home to his mum and he's crying to his mum because his coach has basically said, "You're not good enough. You're not going to make the team on this." And then he just decides, he spends all summer practicing, and when he comes back, he's good and he's better and he drives it on. I found that really inspirational about it.
Yeah, it's such a good series so far. So I'm only 3 episodes in. I know you're the same. Like, I've been watching Community though as well, and you recommended this to me months ago. I've done about 20 episodes in about 4 days, mate. It is fantastic. It is perfect for my sense of humour. Like, that Pierce character is so goddamn funny. He's hilarious, mate. If you've not seen Community, it's on Netflix now. Yeah. I am enjoying it massively. You just need to get on it.
It's brilliant. It's a mad series because it never really got, like, picked up properly. I think it was on E4 when I watched it back in the day when it was on. I think that's right anyway, but yeah, it's amazing. And it's, and for those who don't know, it's directed by the Russo brothers, who obviously gone on and done Infinity War, Endgame, the Captain America films, and it's written by Dan Harmon, who went on to do Rick and Morty. So, like, I mean, talk about impeccable references. It is, yeah, it's unreal.
I've actually been recommended a podcast off the back of it as well, so I was talking about it. So it's Harmon's got his podcast, and it's called Harmon Town, and he talks about it, and he gets some of the actors into it and stuff like that. Like, and it's supposed to be a brilliant podcast talking about Community and other things that he's written and stuff and done and that. Like, and yeah, it's supposed to be a really interesting podcast, so we'll be checking that one out too.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, we'll do. We'll talk a bit more when we've watched all our Last Dance. We'll come back and revisit it and see how we get on with it all. But yeah, let us know how you're getting on if you're watching it, and what you thought and your favourite bits of it so far. Ah, really? Right, Chris, shall we surge? Got anything to say? Yeah, I'll kick off if you want to have a moment. There's nothing that's making you happy at the moment, is there? Can the Last Dance series go on forever?
I'll be running out there, you know. Is it possible to surge Californication another series? Because that's the best comedy that there's ever been.
Okay. Yeah, why not? Pardon me. I want to say this could have been my page this week, but I've decided to flip it round. So, like, I put it out on Instagram. I dug the Wii out, or rather, I was going to dig the Wii out the loft, and then I realised I had a Wii U, which is effectively a Wii, but it's better. So I dug that out, and I've dug out the old Wii Sports, the Wii Sports Golf is the best golf game that's ever been made. Like, you know, there's probably a better version of it. And bear in mind, Chris, I am sat next to Golden Tee.
You're wrong, mate.
When was the last time you played it? It's been like eight years since you played it.
2006, was it? Something like that, when the Wii came out.
I'd forgotten. Like, it is... I'm... Because someone who can't golf... And I don't particularly like the sport. I've like, you know, I would never watch golf. I would never do anything around it. I enjoy golf computer games immensely. Like, I've played loads down the years. I've always got a golf game on the go just to dip into, because it's great. It's just a very relaxing, sedate way to play something, isn't it? But unreal. So I nearly purged it because I played my son on Wii Bowling, and he battered me. Absolutely battered me, and he's 8 years old, by the way. And I had that moment where I thought, is this it? Is this the moment? At eight. And you all know what I'm talking about, of the moment where, you know, when you finally beat your dad at something, and then basically that's when it happens, and your dad stops being this mythological figure in your head, because you can, all of a sudden, he's human and he's fallible. Needless to say, the next day I came back and I fucking annihilated them.
Till about 1 o'clock in the morning, getting your practice in.
Yeah, I had to move over about five or six boards to make sure that because I bend it every time for some reason. But anyway, I want to surge. I want to surge Wii Sports, because, and it's mad thing, because you're having a console's lifespan, things hit max peak popularity and then they drop off, and at the moment the Wii and the PlayStation 2 are pretty much the least valuable consoles on the face of planet Earth, because they were the most popular, there's tons of them, but they've gone, they're now in that time frame where nobody wants anything to do with them anymore, so they're all absolutely worse. So if you go car boot sale now, which you can't, but when you can, you'll see, if you see any computer games, there'll be PlayStation 2 and there'll be Wii games, and actually PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 are just coming into that now. So, like, everyone's been in the Wii's. I've got four Wii's in the loft. I've just acquired them. People have given me them over the years because they've got no value whatsoever. But I think the Nintendo Wii might be the greatest console ever made, because right now we're in lockdown. You're just looking for something to do. You don't necessarily want to vegetate on the couch. To be able to pick up the old Wiimote and the nunchuck and just feel like you're up and about, get all the family around the telly all of a sudden, right, like it is 2006 all over again. I'm surging the way it is being protected for all time. Yeah,
I like that. I don't know whether this is a genuine surge or not, because I've not actually started yet, but I plan to do this. Is what I realise is I miss sport a lot, and there'll be a lot of people here who miss sport a lot as well. And there are a lot of sports, like basketball is one of them, that I don't take any notice of. I am going to start watching, like, old college football, or might be the NFL, or it might be something like that. Stuff that I don't know the results of, okay. And aren't going to get spoiled. I can watch like live sport. This is a genuine thing. So actually, one of our patrons, Russ Waring, has recommended me somewhere to start with this. So big thank you to Russell first and foremost. But what a great idea for anyone missing sport. Go back and watch a sport that you've not watched, or a series that you've not watched. Baseball could be a good one. You'll be able to get baseball games, as you know, a World Series that you don't know the results of, for example. Go watch seven games of that.
We had a bit of this years leading up to the Kiev Champions League final, where we rewatched some of the old Champions League finals, and I'd never seen them. And obviously, you know which ones Liverpool win, but like I'd never, like the 81, I had no idea how that game went down. All I've ever seen over the years is the goals. But to take that to a level where you've no idea of even the outcome, I think that's a moment of absolute. Yeah. Absolute unbridled genius,
like, yeah. So the F1 are putting all like mad old F1 races out when the F1 was tasty to watch, you know what I mean? Just go and watch one. You've got no idea who's going to win it. Just go and do it. And there's an hour and a half banging content.
I would love to go back and watch, pick a baseball team's run to a World Series from years gone by. What was the name? It's going to annoy me. I shouldn't even say it out loud because I can't remember the name. But there was the team that won it out of nowhere in 2002 or 2003.
The A's?
No, not the A's. It doesn't matter. But there was a team, and everyone knew them. They were a proper flash in the pan, like a season or two. Was it Josh Beckett or something? He was the pitcher. Doesn't matter. But like I watched the World Series that year, but like picking one of them, picking a good run from a year that getting the shocks and surprises and all that kind of stuff would be absolutely amazing. That's random tangents. It just reminded me, our only baseball game we ever went to watch was last year when we went to watch the Mets, and this guy hit two home runs, and we had enough. We were a bit bored by that point, and we'd had a few drinks, and we were like, let's get off. Look, because there's no chance he's going to hit the third home run. We got off, and he did. It's a historic record breaking. Yeah, third home run.
More importantly, I caught one of the t-shirts out of the t-shirt thing, and you weren't even there to see.
You know what we'll do, actually, if people want to sign up to the Patreon, we'll put that vlog out on the Patreon in the coming months. If we get to like 50 patrons, we'll release the Mets vlog. That sounds good. It was good fun. We had such a good laugh. But I never got around to editing it. It's just sat there in the archives. That would be absolutely amazing. Yes, there you go. Not do ya?
Do you want to be on the viewer?
You.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Bye, Chris. Yes, good. I forget that just because I'm looking at you, you don't necessarily know that I'm looking at you. Good. Yes, that's it from us then. Yeah, do go over to patreon.com/MHXPayJack and sign up in there for extra bits and pieces. You help to support us through this period. And, you know, nothing for nothing. You know, we go and have a look at the benefits and all that. You'll have heard them earlier on in the podcast, of course, from Chris. It's value having a good laugh with the people on there, and there'll be more to come from us as well. Other than that, you can go into such as MHXPayJack@gmail.com, @MHXPayJack on Twitter and on Instagram as well. And
you know what I miss, Paul, and what the viewers will be able to help us out with here? A problem to solve. Like, can someone email me a problem to solve? Or, you know, because everyone will be going through shit. It might be something stupid. It might be girl problems. It might be boy problems. They generally just want to have sex. So just aim for that.
I've got one.
But anything, go on.
I've got one I meant to do. This was going to be a topic today, but we've flown through. Was I want people's coulda, woulda, shoulda rants. Similar to the Purge, but coulda, woulda, shoulda. And it's the things that the amazing things that you were supposed to be doing, but instead you're in lockdown.
Like, I want like that for next week. Like, I could have been Zach Whitbread.
No. Okay. Like, you could be, like, what would you be doing today? If it wasn't for the fact that the pandemic's hit. So I want to know, because we're not allowed to complain about it because there's people dying and they're very serious and important things, of course, but we've all got these really, by comparison to the problems that the pandemic is causing, what now seems like petty and insignificant things that we're missing out on, like having to do my son's birthday without having family and friends around, my wife's birthday, in fact, she'll be listening to this, happy birthday for Sunday, Charlie, love you. I will probably say it to you in person as well. Probably.
I really hope you do, Paul. I'm going to set an alarm on my phone to do that for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to ring you on Sunday.
To remind me, yeah. But yeah, what are you missing, Elton? So like, as an example, I'm going to do this next week. Me and Chris are supposed to be flying to Las Vegas in like 5 weeks' time, but now we're not because of the pandemic. And of course, it is just a bit of fun. There are more serious issues around the world, but you know what? We're all entitled to be pissed off and cheesed off. So if you want to get it off your chest, send it in to us in the comments, at MateXPageOch or MateXPageOch@gmail.com, and we'll read some. If you want them to be anonymous, by all means, we'll read through some of them next week. Send your problems in as well and join us on Patreon, and we'll be back with MateXPageOch, more of it next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.